We are living in a time of abbreviations. School years have been abbreviated. Work weeks have been abbreviated. Sports seasons have been cut short. But most tragic of all, lives are being cut short. Cut short by a vicious disease that is attacking people around the world. Because we are unable to gather together as a church family, this is the very first time in our lives when we are having an abbreviated Easter Sunday service. Well, in these abbreviated times, I thought it would be fitting to read the abbreviated Easter story recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The earliest manuscripts of this book end with verse 8. But to many scholars, this ending was far too abrupt, and so many theorize that verses 9 through 20 of the 16th chapter were added later to make the ending seem more complete. But since Easter morning is not the time to have scholarly debates about where Mark's gospel actually ends, we will simply proclaim the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in its abbreviated form as recorded in the earliest manuscripts of his gospel, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's it. There's no more to Mark's account of that first Easter morning. It ends abruptly in fear and silence. Listen again. The women said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mark's ending is consistent with the theme of fear and silence that runs throughout his entire gospel. It has an abrupt ending just as it had an abrupt beginning with no Christmas story. But what kind of an Easter ending is that? Fear and silence? What's that all about? And get this, the ending is even more abbreviated if we read it in the original Greek language. If we read verse 8 from an original Greek manuscript, it actually says, "Ephobanto gar," which when translated reads, "They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid for." It doesn't say "for they were afraid," but it reads, "they were afraid for," period. The entire verse reads as an unfinished sentence. And we all learned you do not end a sentence with a preposition. And yet here in the Greek text, that's how the sentence ends. Why? Well, that's where the debate begins among scholars. But it's not a debate we're going to get involved in today. Instead, we who are living in abbreviated times are simply going to take the abbreviated end of Mark's gospel at face value and assume that Mark meant what he said and said what he meant. Perhaps Mark wanted us to look at his ending for exactly what it is, an abrupt end to an incomplete sentence that invites his readers to finish the story. In other words, he leaves it up to you and me to finish the sentence and complete the story for ourselves. You are a part of the Easter story. And so put yourself into Mark's gospel today. And when you do, what might your ending be to the sentence they were afraid for? But before you answer that question, let's consider just how earth-shattering the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is. Because if someone is not afraid in the face of it, they just don't get it. We have so domesticated Easter in the life of the church and in society that many have become casual, nonchalant about just how terrifying and serious the news is. Instead, the church and the culture have colored over and muted the awe and terror of the empty tomb and risen Lord with colored eggs, chocolate bunnies, and jelly beans, and replaced the mood of reverential fear and trembling with sugary substitutes. It's a celebration of spring, not the resurrection of the dead for many. But rest assured, if you had been there that first Easter dawn, you would have felt the same way those terror-stricken women did. In Matthew's account of the resurrection, even the brave Roman soldiers were terrified. As it says in chapter 28, verse 4, the guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. And why not? The resurrection of Jesus Christ should ignite a healthy dose of fear and trembling in everyone who hears it. That's because the world as we knew it has been replaced by the world as God wants it. And that calls for a radical change in your life and mine. A change that can make us afraid. We can fear the changes that participating in the Easter story will require of us. It certainly did for Jesus' disciples. How do you think they would have finished the last sentence of Mark? What were they afraid for? For one thing, they were afraid for now. They had a more precise picture of their calling, of who Jesus was and is. Almighty God, the conqueror of death itself. They realized now that they were called to take the news of his resurrection to the ends of the earth. They were afraid for they knew they would be going to a hostile world, one where they would be persecuted and killed. They were afraid for now they had to travel to unknown places and witness to unfriendly people, sharing the news with strangers, speaking to crowds, great and small, facing down cruel and unjust governing authorities. They were afraid for they knew they would have to endure torture and martyrdom and leave behind all the comforts and securities of home and family. They came to realize this was a serious, life-demanding task. Yes, they went forth in the joy, power, and love of Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit to help and empower them. And yes, perfect love casts out all fear, the Bible says. But they were still afraid. Who wouldn't be? But they went anyway, because they knew the greatest truth of all was a life-giving, life-saving medicine for a lost and dying world. What about you? Do you have any fears of what Easter might call upon you to embrace? Anything you might have to give up? Anything you might have to leave behind to truly follow in the steps of the resurrected Lord? Is there something that is holding you back? Something you're afraid of? Something that is keeping you from being the kind of bold and courageous witness for Christ that he's calling you to be and that the first disciples were? who faithfully took the gospel to their neighbors and to the ends of the earth in spite of their fear. Easter is such life-changing news that you dare not sit on it and do nothing with it. It must be shared. If you are sitting on the good news of Easter, then it hasn't yet fully penetrated your heart and soul. But when the Easter gospel truly gets a hold of you, you can never be, nor will ever be, the same. Even if you have to do it afraid when it comes to sharing the Easter story with others, you will do it because you realize just how important and true this news is. The world has been overwhelmed with tremendous fear these days. The COVID-19 virus has sparked terror all over the globe. People live in dread of catching the virus, and they live in dread of dying from it. And that's understandable. But the biggest fear someone should have should not be a fear of dying from having something, but of dying without something, or more precisely, of dying without someone. And that someone is the resurrected Christ living in our heart. As the church, it ought to put a holy fear in us to see people dying without Christ. For there is no greater tragedy. The empty tomb carries a sense of urgency for Christians to go into all the world with the news that Christ is risen and death has been defeated. It's an urgent message and a matter of life and death. We are the ones Jesus sends to proclaim it. Mark says the women were carrying spices that morning to anoint the dead body of Jesus. If there was one thing that wasn't needed that Easter morning, it was spices. Those spices represented their crushed and defeated spirits and were meant to mask the odor of death and decay. And as far as they were concerned, Jesus was dead, and those spices were going to put the finishing touches on their relationship with him. But they soon found out that there was no death to deal with after all. No death to mourn, but only a life to celebrate. But what about you? Are you carrying around any spices today? The spice of doubt? It's no longer needed. The spice of the fear of death? It's been defeated. The spice of timidity to share the good news? Put it back on the shelf. Drop your spices today, leave them behind, and share the good news with everyone you meet that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The stone has been rolled away, not for Jesus to get out, but for you and me to see in. He is not here, the angel said. He now calls us out into the world to share that news with others. Did you know that the word corona has its origin in the Latin, and it means crown? At a coronation, we put a crown on a person's head. Well, the virus we all fear today is called the coronavirus because when viewed under a microscope, it actually looks like it has a crown of thorns around it. While our world today is possessed with the fear of this thorny crown virus, let us be obsessed with proclaiming the risen Savior who wore a crown of thorns in order to give us eternal life. Let's fear and love him instead of fearing an earthly virus, for Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. He is victor over all sickness and disease and wears the true and eternal crown as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So how will you complete Mark's sentence today? How will you live out its ending? What will your Easter story look like? As for me, what am I afraid for? My answer is this. I'm afraid for If we don't go into the world with the good news of Easter, who will? Amen.